the order of creation. Well, I want to go to his chart 16. You've got that up there already. And I want to make sure that I get this right. Apostles and churches had no practice different than the covering. Now, I disagree with that, but it doesn't make a difference. And now, Pat, you said I had admitted that practice is all right. The word practice was in my definition of the word custom at the very outset of my first speech. I didn't admit anything. That was a part of my definition of the word custom. But it doesn't matter. The biblical word custom, and I've dealt with it. Now, Pat talked about me not dealing with things. He's not dealt with this. The word custom, as used in 1 Corinthians 11:16, only used two times in the Bible. Just two times. And the other is John 18:39, where Pilate said, "You have a custom that one should be released to you, Passover." That's something allowed but not required by law. Now, if that doesn't fit somebody losing his virginity in a party before he gets married, we agree that is a violation of divine law. That's not the custom that Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16. Now, let's just go ahead and read this the way Pat has it. The apostles and churches had no practice, custom, not law, different than the covering. Now, I believe that's wrong, but all right, allow it. It still doesn't matter. It's still custom, not bound by divine law. That's the meaning of the term. Now, the reason, I don't have any problem at all dealing with those who believe in women preachers. The reason I make the distinction is because Paul didn't say anything at all about the woman not teaching over the man being a matter of custom. That, Paul said, has been true from the very beginning of time. It's always true. She must not be over the man. She must be in subjection. 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35. There's no custom there. That's a matter of what God, that's, he bound it by law. It has been true in every time since the beginning of the world. He said that my best argument, there was two symbolic acts, but I gave no verses. Well, that's because I assumed that this audience knew that baptism symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And of course, the verse is Romans 6, verses 3 through 5. That's because I assumed that this audience knew that the Lord's Supper symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I assumed that this audience knew that such passages as 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26 taught that and showed that. I assumed I didn't have to state that to this audience. I'm making on this actually the same kind of an argument that Brother Pat Donahue and I make when we preach on the use of instrumental music in worship. We say there's a pattern, and we show the passages that teach us to sing, and then we challenge. Now, you show me where it says to play. There is a pattern. Now, there's a pattern. There's two symbolic acts that God, under the gospel, not under the time when Noah was on the earth, under the gospel that God has bound upon us as divine law, not custom. Not something allowed but not required by law. Something which we must do in all time. That's the Lord's Supper and that's baptism. And now I'll make the same challenge that Brother Donahue would make if he were debating someone who was defending instrumental music and worship. Now you show me where there's any other symbolic act that's a part of the gospel that God has introduced in the New Testament. It's not there. And that shows us that the only two symbolic acts have a unique importance because they symbolize not any human relationships. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe that the relationship between a man and his wife is important. I believe that the relationship of the men to the women in the local church is important. But I believe that the center of the gospel, what the gospel is all about, the basis, the foundation of the gospel, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And Jesus Christ in the gospel only gave two symbolic action. They're not sacraments. They're just symbolic acts, and he only gave two. And one gets us into the Lord's church, and the other one we observe every first day of the week to remember how we became Christians, to remember how we were saved from our sins, and to declare to the world our belief that this is the basis of our salvation, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And as important as my relationship is to my wife, and as important as the relationship between men and women of the local church is, it pales in comparison to the importance of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the very center, the heart of the gospel message. And those are the only things in which we have symbolic acts. Now, I did, back on chart 26, and you don't have to introduce it, Paul K. Williams, good man, we all agree on that. I agree with his statement, and nobody that I know of says there was a practice of them having the covering or a custom when they prayed or prophesied. But there was a custom, some kind of a custom, of a covering. And I know that because Paul said so. That's the reason. I don't have to have any pictures from antiquity. Paul said there was such a custom. I believe it. And that just settles the matter as far as I'm concerned. You know the old statement, the Bible said it. I believe it, that settles it. And the way it should be said is, the Bible says it, that settles it, I better believe it. Whether I believe it or not. Paul said it. It's a custom. It is a practice that is allowed as a liberty, but not bound by divine law. I don't know how I can make that any clearer. And by the way, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10, this matter of foot washing and that is done today. Now, the Apostle Paul said that for a woman to be allowed to be enrolled in the number of the widows indeed, she had to have washed feet. He didn't say that was a custom. He didn't say, well, just in your society. He demanded that. Now, we recognize it is a cultural practice that is the expression of a spiritual principle, humble service. And I don't believe that that requires, before a woman could be enrolled by the local church as a widow indeed, and that she could receive permanent relief from the local church as a widow indeed, I don't believe that he would require that she literally had washed the feet of saints. But that is exactly what the apostle said. He recognizes the parallel also. Well, I'm going to conclude now. I believe I've said all that needs to be said. Simply this way. I do believe that my proposition has been established. And I do believe that Pat's proposition has fallen. And I do believe that the scriptures teach that the covering of 1 Corinthians 11, verses 2 through 16, is a matter of custom. But I do reiterate the statement that I made at the beginning of my first speech. If a woman is constrained by her conscience to cover her head, let her do so. I will never, ever encourage her not to do so. There are women in the congregation where I preach and am a member who do that not just in the worship assembly, but as a part of their daily attire. I do nothing to discourage them in any way, but let none bind his conscience or her conscience on another. Let all that you do be done with love. And Pat and Tommy, you're my beloved brethren and my trusted friends.